The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious thou art unto us. Thou hast given us thy holy and righteous law, not to save us, but to show us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we stand guilty before that law, knowing that we come short of it every day. But how we praise Thee that by Thy grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, Thou hast delivered us from the curse of the law, because our Lord Jesus was made a curse for us. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Thou didst send Thine only Son, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And how we praise Thee, that Thou hast so worked in us by Thy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, which that Thou hast enabled us to walk in Thy love and in Thy law, and that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Oh, wilt Thou work by Thy Spirit even today, and using Thy law to break our hearts and show us we're guilty in our need of Christ, and oh, to Cause us to cry unto Thee for mercy. Lord, hear us and lead us and have mercy upon us in this hour and deal with every listener. For it is in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My dear friends, our heart goes out to you in love. We've been praying for you, each one of you who've written, those of you who have not written, praying that God's blessings and mercies will rest upon you. We meet every morning during the week at 8, a group of us here, praying for you, praying for revival. Praying that God will work in our hearts as never before. This is the burden of our heart. We want to tell you this. We want you to pray for us. The free book that we're offering this month is entitled The Method of Grace by John Flavel. In this book, this dear brother outlines the work of God's Spirit in applying the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the believer. You'll desire this book because he goes in and shows the work of the Spirit to open the heart, to bring saving faith. He shows what it is, how the soul is joined savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, the benefits that flow out of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the evidences of our union with the Lord Jesus, and us being made a new creature in Him. 560 pages in this little book, and we'd like to send it to you free and postpaid. You will thoroughly enjoy it. Ask for it by name. It's yours free. The Method of Grace. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. For some time now, the Lord has been laying upon my heart to bring a series of messages on the 10th commandment, the sin of covetousness. We just read it in our Bible reading. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And we would like to go into this commandment with you for the next few Lord's Day mornings and lay before our hearts this sin of covetousness and its far-reaching effects. We desire to consider it in three aspects. First, its depths as revealed by the power of the Tenth Commandment. Second, its deceivableness as shown by our Lord's teachings from the Gospel. Third, its damning effect because it is the mother sin that breaks all the commandments. And then the message on how do we know that we are covetous? The fruit of covetousness. How a man may know that he's eaten up with his sin. My dear friend, it has been our desire by the grace of God to bring this series of messages because we, for one, know that the law of God has not been outmolded. It is not past its usefulness, but when used by the Holy Spirit in the heart of a sinner, it still has the same effect according to Romans 3:19. Every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, by the law is the knowledge of sin. For the law is God's schoolmaster, a truant officer, to bring us to Christ. For as the Apostle Paul so clearly sets forth in Romans 7:7, he had not known lust, the sin of unlawful desire, except the law had said, "Thou shalt not covet." He stood blameless before the law of God in his own eyes until this commandment was opened up to him by the Holy Spirit. Then he saw what a sinner he was before God, and that instead of being blameless, he was nothing but a dunghill sinner, nothing but sin in his own sight, and in the sight of God, according to his own testimony in Philippians 3 and Romans 7. So you see, a sinner must come to know experientially his sinful, hopeless, guilty, lost condition before God before he will desire the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. Only then will he be able to receive the precious truth that God can be just and the justifier of him which believeth on the Lord Jesus, according to Romans 3:23. Only then will he be able to understand and believe that he may be made the righteousness of God in Christ, because God has made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. My dear friend, did you know that fallen man is not on trial? He's not on probation, but is only under a reprieve. Every one of you listening to me today outside of Christ, you're not on trial to see if you're going to pass God's test. If you're not in Christ, you're only under a reprieve, not on probation. For you have already been tried and found guilty and condemned and sentenced to death by the supreme judge of the universe. You see, if you're outside of Christ today, you're in the cell of condemnation, behind the prison bars of sin, held captive by Satan and a prisoner of hell with no possibility of or grounds for appeal before God. You ask why? Well, because the sentence is already passed. You've already been found guilty, as John 3:18 declares, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The only thing, therefore, to which a poor sinner outside of Christ may look forward to is death and judgment unless mercy intervenes through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied by faith to the doorpost of your heart. My friend, we've been crying for revival. We've been crying that God would deal with hearts. And it is by the law comes the knowledge of sin. For a man will never desire Christ until he knows that he needs him. And this is the reason we preach. We are trusting God, the Holy Spirit, to work in your heart and show you how you have broken His holy law, and that you stand guilty before God, condemned to die, and that the only hope you have is in the atoning work of Christ for you, as revealed in the gospel of the grace of God. Listen to me now. I said your only hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sum total of the gospel, who took the place of the sinner upon the cross to pay in full his sin debt and deliver him from the just punishment of hell. For John 5:24 says that if you are in Christ, you are not condemned before God anymore, but that you have passed from underneath the judgment of God, and according to Romans 8:21, into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I've been crying unto God for weeks now, what would be our next series of messages? And I've always been impressed to come back to this subject. And I desire to go into this message with you, praying that God will open hearts, to lay bare hearts, by the Holy Spirit as He works effectually in each and every listener. Alright? Let's go now into the body of our message. The word covet is translated most frequently in the New Testament, as James calls it, lust. It means to desire, to set the heart on, or to pant after that which is wrong for me to have. So let us repeat the commandment and look at certain words to show its force. The commandment reads, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Will you look at these words to see the force of this commandment? He says, "thy neighbor's." Twice he uses that expression, over and over again, thy neighbors, his, thy neighbors. Did you catch those words? There is in these words a sevenfold guarding of the interest of another. It is what is in thy neighbor's vineyard. It is what is thy neighbor's that you cannot have. And all men are your neighbors. God's Word says you dare not covet what God has given to your neighbor. To have or to desire to have that which God has forbidden by His law is covetousness. So He said, "that which is thy neighbor's, leave alone." And what God has withheld, He said, leave alone. You see, the particular nature of this commandment then is that it reaches beneath the externals of our conduct to the hidden activity of the mind and of the heart and the will, and condemns sin when it is first entertained in our affections. Listen to how James 1:14 and 15 puts it. "Whatever man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So we find that everyone by nature possesses an evil heart of covetousness. Therefore, breaking all the commandments in the heart before the sin ever gets to the overt act. If you will search out the Scriptures, you will find that all the other commandments have forbidden overt acts, which if disobeyed, will sooner or later be detected by one's fellow man. But my dear friend, this 10th commandment solemnly warns us against sin in the inner and hidden life, which may be hidden from any human being, but is surely known unto our living, holy, and righteous God. You see, sooner or later, however, this also will be revealed. It will reveal itself in some overt act. Therefore lies the importance of this commandment. Let us go further. This 10th commandment embraces all the other commandments, because the breach of each one grows out of the heart of covetousness that every man and woman possesses by nature. Our Lord knew what was in the heart of man. He knows what is in your heart. He knows what is in my heart. And so therefore He said in Mark 7, that from within, out of the heart of men, that is, out of their moral being, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things come from within and defile the man. No wonder God has to give us a new heart when He saves us. And I praise God for this. Again, this same truth is confirmed in Jeremiah 17:9, which tells us that man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there are many other scriptures which tell us that man is far from God, that he hates God, that he loves wickedness and unrighteousness, that he is displeasing to God, that in his natural state he runs away from God and loves darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. This is the heart of every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not only the heart of the heathen who worship and bow down to sticks and stones and crocodiles and worship the sun and the moon, but this is the heart of every individual in Christendom. In the pulpit or outside of the pulpit, in the pew or outside of the pew, who has never bowed the heart and the will to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, from this description of the human heart, by Him who is holy and righteous and who knows what is in man, we understand that man by nature is totally depraved, without hope and without God in this world, abiding under the just wrath of God. My friend, if divine grace does not come and give you a new heart by the working of God the Holy Spirit, then my Bible tells me that you're lost and lost forever. This is this revealing the power of this 10th commandment. It's in the heart of every individual. God must give us a new heart and must cleanse us by the washing of His precious blood. All right, the second aspect of this sin of covetousness, because it is a heart sin, is it deceives and slays us except for the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit and His deliverance. Our Lord warns us in Luke 12:15 of this heart sin of covetousness. He says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He thereby tells us to be on guard against covetousness or greed of every description. Therefore, let us take inventory to see if this sin of covetousness has crept into our hearts, into our lives. Listen now. The Greek word for greed is very descriptive here. Listen now. Literally, it means to thirst for having more, always having more and more and still more. It is as if a man, in order to quench his thirst, takes a drink of salt water, which happens to be the only water available. This makes him still more thirsty. So he drinks again and again and again until his thirst kills him. And so it is with the sin of covetousness, the sin of greed. It is the uncontrolled yearning to have. To have more and more and still more until covetousness kills the soul of man and then he abides under the curse of God forever. The Bible puts it like this in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, and so the eyes of man are never satisfied. What a sin. Oh, my friend, that's a deep-seated sin in the soul. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Covetousness damns a man to hell. To show us further the deceitfulness of this sin of covetousness, this sin of greed, our Lord lays out before us a parable about a rich man who was re-eaten up with this sin. Listen to Luke 12. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This covers it all. You see, covetousness makes a man rather be damned than to admit that he's wrong. That's right. Covetous makes a man treasure up for himself upon earth and lay up no treasure in heaven toward God. Covetousness makes a man, deceives a man about his values. He places his emphasis on things that will damn him and misses the blessing of living for Christ and for others. It's a damning sin because it hinders the Word of God from coming in the soul. It makes a man say within himself, I'm going to have my will. I'm going to have my way. I will get what I want no matter how I get it, who I hurt, who I kill, who I rob, how I lie, or how many lives I wreck. I'm going to do what I want to do. You see, covetousness in its essence is selfishness. My right to my own self and all that I touch for my pleasure and for my glory. I will have that woman or that man if I have to kill someone to get them. I will have that position if I have to wreck every life I touch to get it. I will have my pleasure and my drink and my money and my home and my job and my good times in life and my way no matter how I get them or who I hurt or kill to get them. You see, this is the essence of evil. And dear friend, this is the heart of every man and woman. Young person, listen to me today outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the right to do with myself as I please. And God, you be damned. Don't get in my way. Oh, but my friend, if God never comes in mercy to your soul, you're in a fix. If you die in this condition, you're in a fix. Hell from beneath will move to meet you at your coming. Did you know this? Oh, that God would break the power of it. That every one of you whose hearts are open today to see that you've been deceived by covetousness, that you would cry unto God to break its power in your heart and life. Cry unto God to come to your rescue and apply the power of God's Spirit to your soul and His precious blood to cleanse you from its power and from its sin. For only God can deliver. And I pray that He will. My friend, would you write for a copy of these messages? We'd be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. They're in print. We'll continue this message next week, the Lord willing. Going to you what to show you what the Scripture says. May God open our hearts and our minds to His Word. Will you write us? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.